Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
1 Corinthians chapter 9. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this: do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Thee I freely give. I will ever love and trust You in Your presence daily.
Lesson 142, Denying Liberty. In our last lesson, we learned that Christian liberty should be limited when another Christian could be offended due to a weak conscience. Today, we are tackling the same subject of Christian liberty, where Paul will use his own example of denying himself certain liberties for the sake of the gospel. Paul uses his own example as an apostle of Jesus Christ, having denied himself certain liberties he could have enjoyed, but chose not to, so that he would not hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul will mention some of the liberties he had as an apostle, but before mentioning these liberties, he first asserts his credentials as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Here we get our first glimpse into another problem that Paul is dealing with in 1 and 2 Corinthians. It seems some in the church were calling into question Paul's apostleship. But Paul goes on the defense and says that the Corinthians themselves were the seal of his apostleship, for they had come to faith in Christ through his ministry. After asserting his apostleship, Paul moves on to talk about the liberties he had as an apostle. He asks rhetorically, "Have we not power to eat and drink?" He is asking whether it was right for him to have his basic need for food and drink supplied to him from his gospel work. Clearly, this was a liberty that he and all servants of God are permitted. Everyone who labors should receive his wages, or at least something to maintain their basic need for food and drink. While this was a liberty that Paul could take advantage of, we shall see that Paul chooses not to exercise this liberty, at least with the Corinthians, because he feared that some would accuse him of using religion for his own financial profit. Paul next speaks of his liberty to lead about a wife like the other apostles. This statement makes it rather clear that Paul was a bachelor and chose to be for the sake of the gospel. He knew that it would not be easy for him to carry out his gospel mission if he had to be concerned about caring for a wife. It would also put her at risk of persecutions and hardships, and so perhaps he thought it best to give up this liberty. This was his personal choice and not imposed upon him. He also explains that he and Barnabas, as workers for God, could have given up their secular work and lived completely from the money sent to support the gospel. Again, this was a liberty that Paul and Barnabas denied for themselves and chose rather to work with their own hands to support themselves. To emphasize that their financial support was indeed a Christian liberty, Paul will use several illustrations and biblical examples to prove his point that the Christian workers have every right to receive financial reward for their service. He illustrates using warfare, agriculture, and shepherding. Those who go to war do not pay their own expenses. Those who plant a vineyard enjoy the fruit of it, and those who tend sheep or cattle drink of their milk. This simple logic is employed to show how any particular occupation comes with its natural rewards from the work rendered. As a Christian labors and brings God's rich blessing upon others, the people who gain the blessings are often more than willing to contribute to the welfare of those whom God used to bless them. Paul also uses scripture to back up his point, making reference to a command from Deuteronomy about not muzzling the ox as it treads grain. This provision for the ox to eat while working was not just written because of God's care about oxen, but to teach us a principle that those who work ought to be allowed to enjoy the fruit of their labors. He applies this to Christian workers who had a right to be supported through their gospel work. Other Christian workers had been supported by the Corinthians, so Paul says that they too should have had the same right. However, Paul then states that they did not exercise this liberty, and in fact refused this liberty, because he was aware that some in Corinth were opposing him and his apostleship. He did not want to give any reason for his opponents to accuse him of using the Lord's work for his own gain, and therefore would not take or ask anything from the Christians he ministered to at Corinth. He was glad to preach the gospel without charge, for he wanted to be free to preach the gospel to all and save as many as possible. He said he had become all things to all men in order to save some. Paul made himself as adaptable as possible without sinning or violating conscience in order to fit in with either Gentiles, Jews, those who did not live by the law, or those with a weak conscience. Now Paul uses further illustrations to explain his Christian attitude in serving the Lord. He says he was like a runner in a race, and that every Christian should run to win the prize. He says in order to win the race, the athlete has to be temperate in all things, and they do this to win a corruptible crown. Athletes train their bodies, but they must also be careful about their eating habits and all their activities that could affect their ability to run. The Christian is aiming at an eternal reward and must also be careful in everything they do, so that they can finish the race and gain the prize. He also uses the illustration of fighting. A boxer does not waste his punches by swinging in the air. The Christian should want all of his efforts to be as effective as possible, not wasting his effort or time. Thus the Christian will be careful not to do anything that hinders the gospel witness before others, lest he unintentionally turn people away from the gospel. Just as an athlete must train his body diligently, so Paul says he also trains himself to keep his body in subjection. While we as Christians have liberty to feed our bodies and answer to the desires of the body, we must be careful that our indulgences and liberties are not a stumbling block to others. Our main goal in life should be to show how the gospel has transformed us. We therefore should be willing to give up liberties if in doing so it helps the advance of the gospel. Paul was very careful to discipline himself, for he said he did not want to end up being a castaway. What he means by this is that if he was not careful to control his own desires and took advantage of his liberties, he may fail to be an effective servant for Christ with a weak testimony and diminished reward. There is great danger in Christian service of becoming disqualified by allowing too much of self and not enough of Christ to be promoted. Are your choices in life promoting yourself, or are they promoting Jesus and His glory? For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord. I give myself to Thee. I surrender all.
now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we have learned about Paul giving up some of his liberties in order to advance the gospel. While he was free to enjoy a wife or the wages of his work, he did not want to appear to be taking advantage of the gospel for his own financial benefit. Someone might ask the question, is it okay to pay wages to a Christian worker? In today's chapter, we heard Paul argue for the right of Christian workers to enjoy the benefits of their labor by receiving compensation from the Christians they serve. He said that those who labor for the gospel should live by the gospel. The example is given from the Old Testament priesthood, where the priest would eat from the offerings that were brought to the temple. From this passage, it appears that many churches have adopted a policy of paying their staff members. The pastor of the church is paid an agreed-upon salary from the offerings that are collected. In order to pay the wages of the pastor, the congregation has to be large enough so that the collected offerings will sustain his salary. The pastor can become preoccupied with attracting as many people as possible to church. If he is not careful, he might lose sight of spiritual goals while trying to establish his career in ministry. This tendency in the modern church is a far stretch from what Paul was talking about in this chapter of Corinthians. He says that he would rather not receive any financial help from the Corinthians because that potentially could call into question his motives and effectiveness in the gospel. How often have you heard pastors or church leaders refusing financial rewards? Unfortunately, today's practice in the church has made pastoral care a job rather than a calling from God. Preaching has become a business rather than a ministry. Healing and prosperity are products to be sold, and the preacher is worshipped rather than God. This is what happens when men make religion into a money-making racket. When Peter wrote to church leadership in 1 Peter 5, he said that they should do their work willingly and not for any financial reward they might receive. The motivation of the Christian worker should always be to answer God's call and be faithful in the ministry to which God has called him. He should have no expectation of wages, knowing that God can supply him through the gifts of the Lord's people as the Holy Spirit moves them to share in his ministry. Workers do not need to solicit help to support their work, for if God calls them to work, he will supply all their needs. Scripture does not teach us that a wage should be offered to anyone serving in the church. We do not find this anywhere in the New Testament. Although we do find that those laboring for the gospel did receive gifts from the Lord's people to assist them in their work, the church should be aware of those who are willing to labor among them and share with their needs as the Holy Spirit directs them. If the church did this and the workers lived by faith, trusting in the Lord alone for their support, then we would avoid the greed and corruption that plagues the church. Men love money, and the Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. When someone serves God with a sincere heart and without expectation of financial reward, they demonstrate a genuine call to serve. Whether they receive financial help or not is not important to them. What matters is just doing whatever the Lord has called them to do. The church is to recognize and honor those who labor sincerely and faithfully. When writing to Timothy, Paul said that elders who rule well and labor in word and doctrine were worthy of double honor. This means that it is the church's responsibility to give assistance to those who labor in the church for the spiritual benefit of the church. You might argue, though, that since this is the case, why not just agree on a salary and pay the man for his religious service? This is precisely what most churches have done, but without scriptural support, and it has wreaked havoc in the church. This has attracted greedy men whose heart is only seeking after money and not the spiritual care of souls. The church must be guarded against men who are greedy for gain. One of the qualifications for a church leader is that they are not to be greedy for money. So we see that the servant of God works for God and trusts in God for his support, asking nothing from the church or anyone else. If his call is from God, then his needs will be supplied, for God will direct his people to share with the needs of his servants. No contracts, no salary, no manipulating or soliciting for support. Just trust in the living God. This is how God's work is to be supported. Christians may fail to be responsible to those who labor, but God will never fail those who faithfully serve him. Those who serve God for money have received their full reward already, since their heart was not in it for the glory of God, but for personal gain. Those who pay salaries for spiritual work are making a grave error, for they change God's work into a job and attract men who are looking for money. Those who receive a salary for their service for God also make a grave error, for even if they are sincere, others will call into question their motives because they are working for a stipulated salary. If they completely cast themselves in faith upon the Lord, then they will know if the Lord has indeed called them and is pleased with their work through the support they receive. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, and as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student.
Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the home of God. He too.
If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
All to Jesus I surrender now. I feel the same.